This episode of The Line is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome to The Line, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to Star Trek Picard. I'm Chrissy DeClercq-Zalagi, and joining me today are my co-hosts, Brandon Che Mutala and Justin Ozer. Brandon, how are you today?
I am fine. I am assimilated. I am the new Borg, Brandon.
You sound a little different than the usual Borg.
Yeah, I am Canadian Borg. Pour assimilation en français, appuyé sur le neuf.
I know I'm playing into stereotypes here, but do you apologize after you assimilate people?
Yes.
You have to.
You know, it's not really like a Canadian stereotype, because we do apologize like for lots of stuff that we shouldn't. You know, it's like you walk up to somebody and, you know, you trip. They're nowhere near you. You fall face first, break your nose, and then you turn and you still apologize to the person who you didn't touch. That's like totally Canadian.
Okay. Good to know from the inside.
That's good.
Yes.
All right. And Justin, how are you today?
Doing good. Not assimilated just yet, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can get to that right away.
Apologizing for not assimilating me quick enough. Cool. But yeah, no, I'm doing great. You know, as we sit here, it's September now. So this show's getting closer, though we don't have a release date yet. So, but it's exciting to think about and anticipate.
It's the day after Star Trek Day that we're recording here, September 9th.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. How did you guys celebrate Star Trek Day?
By loving Star Trek and thinking about it and reading about it and watching it and tweeting about it. And yeah.
You didn't watch anything special?
I was busy with some stuff, so nothing special that I thought of. I didn't watch like The Man Trap or anything. Sorry.
No, I did that in previous years. I made a tweet. I didn't watch any Star Trek yesterday at all. I'm like,
why are you on this podcast?
It's okay. I didn't get a chance to either. So you're not alone.
Why are any of us on this podcast? Oh, apparently okay. None of us watched any Star Trek for Star Trek Day.
I did tweet some. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and I had to give up my old shuttlecraft. My 17-year-old Aztec crapped out on me. Went and got a new car, new used car, and it's maroon. So its new name is the Monster Maroon.
Nice. Oh, I love it. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you call that celebrating Star Trek Day, though. I guess we'll see.
It's related. Well,
celebrating buying a new car day.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so that's that. Right, so today we are going to talk about how the character of Jean-Luc Picard has had an effect on people's lives. We put it out to the Babel Conference, and we're going to give our stories too. But just in case you didn't see it in the Babel Conference, the question was, how has the character of Jean-Luc Picard affected your life? Was he a father figure, or did he influence your management style? Did he inspire you to go to archaeology or to read Shakespeare? Or did he have an impact on your life in some other way? So, before we get into what our fellow conference members told us, why don't we start with Brandon? What's your Picard story?
So Picard for me, I think I've said something like this before in that he's the kind of leader that I wish I could be. And I wish I could be the kind of leader that can talk to people and mentor people. And, you know, I strive to be that, but I continually stumble and I don't get to be as good as Picard is at being a mentor. I'm not a very good trainer. I'm impatient, but you know, there's times when I think, you know, that I kind of call on Picard to be patient when I need to be patient, you know, and I think that Picard's patience with people has actually helped me with my patience with my children. So I would say the way that Picard is very patient with people has rubbed a little bit off on me. I wish it would have been a little bit more, but that's probably the trait that I like the most out of him as a leader is his patience with people.
That's an important one. Mm-hmm. And
because it's something I struggle with.
Understand. There's some irony to applying his patience with people to children, though. Although we talked about that already on the show.
Yes, Papa Picard.
And Justin, what about you?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this, and I think as I've said here before, the first time I watched TNG was more recently in 2010, and I was about 30 years old at the time. And I think for the most part, like how I look at the world had been, you know, fairly well shaped by some other influences, and fairness and justice have always been important for me. But I think what TNG did and the character of Picard in particular is giving hope that those things could be there in the future, that there could be someone who would serve as a role model for, you know, fairness and justice and trying to do the best that he can for the people in his crew, for the Federation as a whole, even people that he's never met before. So I did find that very inspiring. But on a more personal level, that was around the time that it was actually shortly after I think I started watching TNG that I got promoted in the department that I was a part of. So I was a like customer service and tech support rep, and I ended up being promoted to the customer service manager of the department, which is something I'd never done, but really done before. And so in that job, in that kind of trying to work with people and manage people and try to like understand their expectations and what would be going on and try to get the best work out of people while still being, you know, a good person. I found Picard to be an inspiration in that, that he's always asking other people for options. He's always going to try to find the best solution and to be patient with people. But also what I took from him is that for Picard, it's not about him. It's not, we've talked about this a little bit before, it's not as much about ego. It's more about doing the best that you can, you know, for your crew and the people around you. And I took that to heart as a manager, like, this isn't about me. This is about what I can do for this team and for the company as a whole. So it was actually really helpful at a very important time when I was being put in a position I never had before. And it actually helped me to succeed in that, I think.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
How about you, Chrissy?
All right. So for me, Picard has influenced in a number of ways, management and patience, as you guys brought up, and a number of people brought up in the Babel conference as well. Those are important as a teacher. You know, even in a college classroom working with adults, you still need to have a bit of classroom management, and you have to be patient with students and with colleagues as well, always. When I was thinking about it, one of the first things that came to mind was the fact that Picard knows where to have formality and professionalism. And that's an important thing to me because it can be tough on a college campus. When I was in, this is going to make me sound old, but when I was in college, I would never have dreamed of calling my professors by their first names unless they'd told me to. And they probably would have had to tell me at least twice. But maybe it's because I'm at a community college and I have a lot of older students. I tend to get a lot of first name basis, and I like to keep that level of formality, at least in the classroom. Outside of the classroom, it's a different story. But in the classroom, that helps. And so Picard's insistence on that kind of thing, say on the bridge, is an important thing to me. But he also knew where it was appropriate to be informal. You know, maybe he didn't join in the poker games until the very end, but there was still a feeling of friendship that was there that could supplant the formality where appropriate.
Mm-hmm. So are you telling me that you'd like me to call you Mrs. DeClercq Zalagi right
no,
now?
No, I would not. No. Oh, okay. No. I never go by Mrs. Anyway. I always go by Prof.
Yeah.
Prof.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. We're not that formal on this podcast.
No, and see, that's because it's not the circumstances that warrant it. Totally different, right? We're not in a classroom.
We could spice it up a bit. I can next time we record, I can wear a tie.
That could be fun.
Maybe. So I have to ask, yeah, though, like, after how many years have you been teaching?
Oh, a decade.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was just curious if after 7 years you asked your students to join a poker game.
I would not want to play poker with anyone. I will never play poker. Yeah. I'm not good at that type of thing. You guys can probably hear my emotional state in my voice, and I don't even talk about seeing my face. So,
next time we're in Vegas, we're playing poker.
Nope.
No, I'm terrible too, so no.
I'll play with fake chips. As long as it's not real money, that's fine.
Yeah. Potato chips.
Yeah.
We'll play potato chips. So has that been like a constant thing since you've been a professor that they call you by Chrissy, or is it slowly degrading? Is society slowly degrading as you teach?
You know, I realized that was how it sounded as I was saying it, and I didn't mean it that way. No, I've always had that issue with my students, and I don't know. I think it's just how things are now, and I'm old fashioned in that way. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember a time when you wouldn't even know what your teacher's first name would
be. Yeah. That isn't that long ago.
I remember I was in kindergarten once. Kindergarten, okay? And I remember this, at Queen Elizabeth School in Saskatoon. And I'm walking down the hallway, and my principal's there. And I'm like, hey, Ralph. Right? And I remember his name, Ralph Kinderchuk. And he stared me down the whole way as I walked to my kindergarten class. And I'm like, better not do that again.
But that's cute in a five-year-old.
Look was not cute.
Oh, no. And I wouldn't imagine. Anyway. Oh, wow. Well, one of the other things I wanted to bring up, which is actually a bad example that I think I have gotten from Picard and probably other people too, focusing on work to the point of having to be told to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really bad about that.
Not me. I like my vacations.
No, I like my vacations too. I'm like, vacation's coming up. All right, forget work.
See you later.
But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's funny. Well, before we get into our main discussion today, I had something that I wanted to read, something that was on the post for our last episode on the Romulans.
Okay.
So, Rhea Papageorgiou says, I don't know if I've heard Chrissy DeClercq-Zalocki in a podcast before, but she does a great job.
Thank you.
Yes, you're relatively new to podcasting.
I am. I am quite new.
You've been on War 5, what, just the once, hey?
One time, yep.
And then you've been on a couple roundtables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But what were you on? What were you talking about? You did a retrospective with us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was somewhere in season 3.
Yeah, cool.
I can't remember which episodes off the top of my head, but.
Neither can I. Go look in the War 5 feed. Chris has done one more if you want to hear a little bit more from her.
Thanks for sharing those. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say thanks for sharing that, Rhea.
Yeah, no, thank you. That was very nice. Like I said, didn't hear my blushing.
Excellent, right on.
Well, shall we get into what our listeners have thought about how Picard's affected their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we should. So our first response came from the Babel Conference, and it's from Kimberly Lawler. And she says, a few thoughts. I do have plenty of role models in my life and faith tradition, but Picard has been the most influential fictional character in my life by far. The first lines of Shakespeare I ever learned were the "What a piece of work is man" speech from Hamlet in Haydn Q. And that sparked a lifelong interest in Shakespeare. I'm not a scholar, but a lover of language and of Shakespeare's great insight into the human condition. So I've always read, watched plays and films, and incorporated it into my writing. I couldn't very well start drinking tea in elementary school. Why not?
Yeah, that's legal to do that, right?
Yeah. But when I did, later on, I adopted Earl Grey as my preference, and it's still a daily habit. And I credit my original interest in classical music to him, too, another lifelong interest. Personally, while I'm far too timid to ever be the kind of leader that the character naturally is, Picard's speech in The First Duty also made a huge impression on me from the first time I saw it as a kid. The idea of commitment to truth being a duty even if standing up for it costs you personally or professionally, even if you've made a mistake, was striking, and is something I still take to heart on a regular basis. Absolutely. That speech, when he's chastising Wesley in the first duty, is very powerful. And, you know, that is a very, it's not really a motivating speech. That's not the word I'm looking for, but it's important because it makes you realize, like, you know, yeah. Ethics are an interesting thing. And it's almost a whole ethical situation that they're in. And ethics are, we're told to me, what ethics are is doing the right thing even when nobody's looking. That's what ethics boils down to. You either have ethics or you don't have ethics. And if you do, you'll do the right thing even if nobody's looking, right? You know, so while it's not really ethics that's being questioned here, they're still about to get away with something. And Picard's figured it out. And so it's up to Wesley to step up. Like, he's been caught. And Picard's going to tell the truth no matter what, right? So, yeah, I don't know. But he should have realized that he should have stepped up at the beginning. So,
yeah.
And Kimberly, I mean, it sounds like Picard has had a big influence on your life. I mean, in terms of being exposed to Shakespeare and classical music and I think the way that you think about things. So, yeah, thank you for your feedback. It sounds like he had a big influence, and I know he has on a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
But what's wrong with tea when you're a kid?
I don't know. I drank tea as a kid.
I mean, you could drink tea. It's never something that I really thought about doing unless I was sick. And yeah. Unfortunately, that's continued into adulthood. I don't really have tea unless, like, I'm sick and I'm like, I want some tea to feel better. Aww. But it's weird, I know.
But I think most people, they'd say because there's caffeine in it, but it's like, there's caffeine in, like, chocolate, right? And kids eat chocolate all the time, so.
That's true, and soda.
You know, and they drink pop, and.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're a kid, you don't, one of the things that Picard had that you don't want to have is a Horgon.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, kids, don't.
But tea's fine.
Don't get that Horgon and go to Ryza. In fact, kids, don't go to Ryza.
I wonder if there's, a kid's play, you know, an area where you can leave the kids on Ryza, or maybe on one of the moons.
Well, like, I've been to Mexico at a resort. Ryza? They get, they got kids areas at resorts.
Yeah. I'm sure.
No Horgons, just playground equipment. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never thought about this before.
I never did either.
See, now I'm just picturing the entire playground's made out of wood, and they're all, like, carved faces of Horgons, but they're not, like, Horgons. They're, like, just giant faces in the kids' play area.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
No, that's better than just anything I was thinking. All right.
Respond to this, because I've never thought about
it. Let's change the subject. I'm sorry. No,
it's okay. All right. I made it worse. right. So, with Shakespeare, too, that was the first bit of Shakespeare that I ever heard either, at least that I remember. And I remember when when I was in high school and we were reading Hamlet, I came across a line and I was like, oh my God, that's in an episode of Star Trek. And nobody in my class cared, but that's fine.
But everybody knows that the best adaptation of Hamlet is Strange Brew with Bob and Doug McKenzie, right?
Sure.
I don't know that.
You don't know Strange Brew?
I'm aware of it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, when you podcast with me long enough, you'll know if it's not Star Trek or if it's been in the last 20 years, I probably haven't seen it.
You know who Bob and Doug McKenzie are, though, right?
I probably heard the
Hosers,
names, but
Take Off A. Yeah.
They're it sounds Canadian. Very Canadian.
It is very Canadian. They're from a Canadian comedy show called SCTV, and they had a skit.
Oh, SCTV, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, so they're always about drinking beer and eating back bacon, and they made a movie, and it's basically Hamlet. Like, they go to the Elsinore Brewery, and the woman, her dad was killed by the uncle to take over the brewery. Right. And so this uncle has this co-worker who wants to take over the world with this, like, drugged up beer or whatever. But, you know, they go to a video game machine and they put a quarter in and the ghost of the dad comes out and tells them to watch out for the uncle. It's like Hamlet, but in a beer factory.
That's fantastic. That right there is why Shakespeare is universal. If you can rewrite it so that it's in a beer factory. Okay.
Okay. So for the next response, we also got some responses from Twitter. And this one is from Rosie Varela at the RVP Music on Twitter. Full disclosure, that is my wife. She responded to to our tweet about this. So
We do not. We do not approve of nepotism on this podcast.
We included all responses, including the one from my wife. Okay. So it's cool. Okay. So she says, Picard's curiosity, critical thinking, and compassion taught me that a true leader first empowers by recognizing the unique skills of each team member, gives them the wings to use them, and considers actions and options that lead to unique creative perspectives and solutions.
I like that.
I mean, very well said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unique skills of each team member. That's important.
Mm-hmm. He seems like the kind of leader that would, like, he puts people together to get the job done, you know, like,
yeah.
he lets them thrive by doing what they do best, you know, like, he's got full confidence in number one, right? And so, you know, he doesn't feel any type of, you know, jealousy or anything for Riker's abilities as a leader. He fully trusts him, and he's like, you know, he lets Riker pick his away team members and everything like that. So, yep. And he lets everybody have value, you know, like, look at the characters who grew on the show, like LaForge, mm-hmm. right? We saw that LaForge had a talent for engineering. He was solving a lot of problems, so they moved him to engineering, and he became chief engineer of the ship, you know? So they got Worf to step up after Tash's death. And, mm-hmm. you know, that led to chief of security for him. So his roles got elevated. And, yeah, he definitely recognizes where people are best and lets them thrive in their roles.
So is one of the things we're saying that if Picard was the captain of Voyager, Kim wouldn't have been an ensign for 7 years?
No, he still would have.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Just curious.
You realize that Nog would be a superior officer when he gets back, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's, yeah. I don't know what to say about that. Maybe he got, like, backlog promotions. Like, you know, they check the records once they got back, and they said, you should be at least a lieutenant by now.
Yes, Kim definitely should have been promoted. Yeah. Kim was a good character. Mm-hmm. He brought a lot to the table.
Yeah, it's, I mean, whatever. People have talked about it, but it is such a weird thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Picard recognizes the skills and talents that people have, and he tries to really cultivate that and help people move forward. Of course, he was unsuccessful with Riker for 15 years, but, you know, eventually he kicked him off the ship.
Well, that's Riker's fault, though. Like, he chose to not take them.
That's, you know, true.
He chose to not take the promotions.
What the hell are you still doing here, Will?
Well, exactly. Yeah. So it wasn't through any fault of Picard.
It's true.
If anything, it's Picard's fault because he's such a good leader, right? Mm. He created this culture on the ship that made Riker not want to leave. Yeah. Plus, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the Enterprise was the flagship. The flagship in the fleet.
I like flagship, though.
The flagship, yes. But he wanted to, even being second on the best is better than being first on the worst.
Yep.
Yeah, so I can see that.
All right, well, Duncan Barrett says, I've always loved Picard for his integrity and wisdom. Plus, I think Patrick Stewart is an actor of a caliber that Star Trek was really lucky to find in a series lead. I love all of them, but he is head and shoulders above the rest in my view. In recent years, though, I've realized that Picard probably played a more important role in my life than I was aware of at the time. I was brought up in a household made up pretty much entirely of women. My father had a limited role in my life in the early years, but the period when I got into Star Trek via TNG coincided with the period when he disappeared from my life almost altogether. So I think in many ways, Picard was my main male role model. He is certainly a better role model than my dad. I've heard quite a few men with absent fathers say similar things, and it makes me think there may be a generation of men who grew up with Picard as a kind of surrogate dad. Patrick Stewart was also a big inspiration to me. At university, I got hugely into Shakespeare and performed in and directed a lot of his plays. When I left uni, I originally trained to be an actor, and specifically a Shakespearean actor. I remember thinking at the time that my ideal career would be to do lots of classical theater and then get a part on Star Trek. Obviously, that didn't work out the way I'd hoped, but it does go to show that both Patrick Stewart and Picard probably influenced me in their own ways. I've been lucky enough to see him on stage several times in A Christmas Carol, Macbeth, and The Tempest, and all three were wonderful performances. I'm very excited, but also kind of nervous to see what old man Picard is going to bring to us in the new series.
Awesome. Yeah, I think Picard would definitely be a role model for a lot of men and women, you know, in their lives. Mm-hmm. So even women who may have had absent fathers would look up to him as a father figure.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah. And I think I also just want to say that Duncan had put something up on the Babel Conference and Twitter about how Star Trek has changed people's lives. And I think, Chrissy, that had influenced you to put this question
it
out there.
It did indeed. And I very much appreciate the germ of the idea being placed by Duncan. Thank you.
Yeah. And Duncan, thank you for sharing your story. I mean, it must be really, you know, difficult if you have someone like a father that's absent and isn't giving that kind of guidance. And Picard, I mean, it's kind of funny because it's someone that's a fictional character on your TV, but it can serve to be a real inspiration and something you connect to your own life. And I think that's the power of what a real art form can do. And also, I think you're right, it's the power of what Patrick Stewart can do to really sell that and for you to feel that this is like a real person and to take inspiration and guidance from that. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's really great. And you know what, Duncan, there's still time. Maybe you'll be on a Star Trek show in the future.
Well,
could happen.
If nothing else, he's got to be on a show talking about Star Trek. So he's, you know,
well, yeah,
so part of the way there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. Yanis, who was at Morianis on Twitter, says, Picard always was a role model for me. He had that combination of composure, philosopher, explorer, diplomat, risk taker, and meditator. All the qualities valuable in life. I learned to be measured, think things through, be fair, apply diplomacy over confrontation, yet take risks when warranted, but also to accept my flaws and mistakes, learn from them, and try to move beyond. The lesson he gave Data that it's impossible to commit no mistake, that it is possible to commit no mistake and still lose, and that is life, is very important. Yes, I truly love that line as well. And, you know, I've told that line to my daughter. You know, because, you know, I'm the kind of person, like, I'm one of those type A personalities who's like, does everything they can to be as best as they possibly can at everything. And so is my daughter. And I've had to tell her, look, you can be really good at what you do and there can always be somebody better than you. So, you know, just do the best that you can. So that is definitely a very, very important lesson.
Absolutely. Oh, and I want to add something. you said risk taker and meditator, but I think it's mediator.
But well, he meditated too.
Yeah, I like thinking of Picard as a meditator.
I don't think he ever meditated.
Meditation on a flute.
I don't know. After the mind meld with Sarek, maybe he'd want to do Vulcan meditation.
Possibly. Yeah. Maybe he'd also like to do Vulcan neural pressure with Beverly.
Oh, God. that's probably yes.
Trek after
Trek. Or Vash. Wow. Or Nella Dern.
Yeah. The list goes on.
Oh, yes.
Or Data. I don't know.
All right.
To each their own. All right, then.
Okay, so Matt DT says, Picard got me into Earl Grey tea. Also, he had excellent leadership and diplomatic skills, which many could learn from. Thanks, Matt. And I think that is something that people would mention, Earl Grey. So I wonder, like, did the sales of Earl Grey really do well while TNG was on the air?
So... I know that in season 6, I think it was, when Geordi for like 2 episodes was drinking iced coffee, I started drinking iced coffee.
Really?
Yes.
Love it.
I absolutely did. So I can see with Picard saying Earl Grey tea all the time. I was not a tea drinker until actually very recently. I never really drank tea very often in my life. There's a few of those, a few things here and there. Like I worked at a restaurant and they actually had a licorice tea.
Ooh.
And it was just delicious. So I'd drink that. But that was like 20 years ago now. But at my work now, though, we have David's tea at my work in tea bags, and they've got this thing called Cream of Earl Grey, and it's got a really, really nice tea to it, or nice taste to it. And I don't know what it is, because I don't know how it's different from regular Earl Grey, but I love it, and I drink a lot of it. So
I'm a shameful Next Gen fan in that I could never get into the flavor Earl Grey tea. It tastes like soap smells to me. I'm just I try every time I see a different kind of Earl Grey, I say maybe this one will be different. Nope.
No.
You should try this cream Earl Grey. Do you have David's tea in the States?
I don't know, but I will look.
Yeah, it's like a tea company. Okay. So I don't buy tea. I just drink it all the time at work now because I get it for free.
And well, yeah.
This cream of Earl Grey.
Cool.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever had Earl Grey.
Never even tried it? What kind of Star Trek fan are you?
One that doesn't drink a lot of tea.
Well, I don't drink tea.
And you know what?
I tried Earl Grey.
Well, you guys were watching the show when you were kids, and you were very persuadable. I started watching it when I'm 30. I wasn't very persuadable.
Star Trek warped my mind.
In
made
good
me
ways.
Drink iced coffee.
I mean, really? You're like iced coffee? Yeah, sure. Geordi drank that. I mean, did you ever see like on Star Trek they had Ractigino, and you were like, where can I get that?
No, because I knew that it was a joke on cappuccino.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh my. Okay. I am this days old. I heard that, and now that makes perfect sense. Oh my. I never caught that.
That's funny. I was this days old when I learned Ractigino was a play on cappuccino.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well,
that's hilarious. Okay. I love Janeway because she drank coffee. Because I drink coffee like all through my teen years and stuff, right? And so when Janeway was drinking coffee, I'm like, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
None of that tea garbage. Drink some coffee like a man. Right? I don't know. I just was happy that somebody was drinking coffee on TV. So.
Coffee, tea, like what drink hasn't gotten promoted on Star Trek yet?
Coca-Cola.
They got root beer. I've always preferred root beer has been my drink and not because of Deep Space Nine. Root beer has always been my drink, my pop of choice. Mm. I love A&W root beer.
Yeah.
It's got to be A&W root beer because that's the best. Dad's root beer is good. A&W's the best. Mm-hmm. But do you know why Barks has bite?
Because it has bark in it?
Nope. This is an interesting...
Know. Oh.
There's a reason why Barks has bite.
I don't know.
It's the only root beer that has caffeine in it.
Oh.
Really? Okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
And a spin-off of root beer podcast
All
now.
All right.
Yeah.
People who work for any of these companies,
the
if you'd like to...
bubbly podcast.
Just like the Federation. Well, I could never drink Earl Grey tea, but I did... my mother managed to find some of those wonderful Bodum cups that he had, the clear ones with the black handles.
Oh,
and I drank my Celestial Seasons Raspberry Zinger in it. So...
Nice.
All right. Let's see. James D. says, Picard made me believe in a future that humanity can live up to. I never joined the armed forces, but I always said I would rather have a Picard as my CO than a Jellicoe. Picard is stern, but always willing to help the little man, and he knows everyone below him from Riker all the way down to Ensign Cito Jaxa and everyone in between. That's something I want to do if I ever started a business myself. I agree. I always have trouble remembering people's names. I tell my students not to take it personally. It's just doesn't quite click for me.
Mm-hmm. You over there, you have a question?
Exactly.
Hey, you. Hey, you number one.
Yes.
How big are your classes?
Biggest class I ever taught was a lecture hall was 60, but usually I teach between 20 and 30. And I usually run, I'm an adjunct, so I usually run between 6 and 8 classes a term. So I'm all over the place
And he takes an interest in their lives. Like, he brought Ensign Cito Jaxa up, and it's like Picard went out of his way to make sure that person had another chance.
Yeah.
You know, he requested her to come to the Enterprise. So, I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. And I wonder what happened because, you know, there was Nick Locarno, and there was Cito Jaxa and Wesley, and the fourth person died. There was only the four on the team. Is that right?
No,
it's been a while since I've seen First
Duty.
There was a fifth, wasn't there? Yeah, so like whatever happened to the
fifth.
Died. Yeah. Who was the other one?
Yes, but who was the other one, though?
I don't remember the name, but they...
Yeah, Nick Locarno, Wesley, and Cito, and then the dead guy.
And then another
Bob.
Guy.
We call him Bob. Dead Bob.
Well, that's embarrassing. Okay.
Anyways, there's whatever happened to that person? Why didn't Picard stick up for them, huh?
He did. They just didn't get their own episode.
It's a big federation. can't help everybody. No,
no,
I don't know. No, no, I'm going to have to look up and see who that other person
I'm
was.
I'm looking right now.
So it was Gene Hajar.
That's the, right? the character's
That's
name?
That's the other person. Huh. Yeah. Wasn't it? I think so.
God. Oh, just yeah.
Off the IMDb
okay,
list.
It was the other human woman. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he did see something in Cito. So then that is cool that, yeah, she comes back.
That other one, she quit and she got a job working in the Klingon restaurant on Deep Space Nine.
There you go.
She's in the kitchen.
Sure.
Given that her name doesn't even show up in the synopsis except right at the beginning. Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah. Michael Dambold, at Michael Dambold on Twitter, says, Picard taught me that listening to everyone's ideas for solutions, hearing and considering their problems with both logic and empathy, equally weighted, are critical to making an informed decision. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You always need to hear people out. You always need to get all the information before you jump to conclusions. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting, Michael, that you mentioned logic and empathy so equally weighted, because I think both of those things are important. And I think that I may have mentioned this before, but like as human beings, we like to think when we're making decisions, we're making like rational, logical decisions. But there's a lot of stuff that's bound up in our emotions and how we feel about things. And we often put forward logical or rational reasons to kind of justify what we've already like emotionally feel comfortable with. But it is important to like think of those both sides. And I mean, I think you think especially early on of Picard being like this really kind of like stern person, but I mean, he does loosen up over time, but I think he is very, he can be very understanding about people's different circumstances and trying to take that into account. So I think you do, even though you might think of empathy more as Troy, I think you do see that for Picard, like in his own way.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So Suman Dhawan says, I vividly remember when my mom and I heard New Trek was coming. We were both very excited. She, however, was a huge Kirk fan, so she was a little skeptical of a new captain of the Enterprise. Well, she quickly began to love Jean-Luc. We both admired his leadership and his style. He was honest and had integrity. His adventurous spirit was always fun, combined with his diplomacy and logic and care for his crew. It makes sense that in the trailer for the new show, a girl comes to him because she feels safe with him. He was a different captain than we were used to, but we loved every minute. It truly was a Next Generation show that brought in a whole new group of soon-to-be Trekkies, and Picard is a big reason for it. Yeah, so thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I mean, I think that when you think about the Next Generation, I think there's a lot of reasons that it did become a popular show, and it's still something that people watch and think about a lot. But I think Picard is mm-hmm. a pretty big reason for it, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great character. Like, he is the lead of the show. Yes, it's a ensemble cast, but he's really the center of just about everything.
I love that you brought up the family thing, too. When I think of, I mean, my family watches Star Trek, but when I think of all of us sitting together and watching Star Trek, it's Next Gen. We watched the other two, but Next Gen was the one that we always kind of made a point of, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen people say again and again that they watched it together as a family. It was kind of something that they could share and enjoy and bring them together. So, that has its own impact, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. being with your family, seeing the same thing week after week and enjoying it and talking about it and having it, you know, have an impact, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I think the timing, too, had an effect on that, because I think you had people who saw the original series when they were younger and who by mm-hmm. that time had kids who they could grow up on Next Gen then watching it right alongside them.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Ron Sarna says, he told me it was okay to listen to people around you for advice. That's important. That is mm-hmm. important.
Good leaders always go to the people around them to mm-hmm. make informed decisions.
Yeah, and not assume that you know the answer because you're the leader, right? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes you don't.
That's right.
You really don't.
Yeah. And there's humility to that, too. You know, a lot of us try to just slog through our lives and don't ask for help when we need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maria Fotanakis says, we watched TNG growing up as a family as it aired. My dad, mom, bro, and me. Decades later, I remembered the Picard quote about doing everything right and still losing when my father was in the hospital. Oddly, it gave me comfort, even though I was losing my dad. That's awesome that you're able to get comfort from the show through difficult times.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think it has had that impact on a lot of fans where they had a difficult time for one thing, one reason or another, and something in Star Trek, The Next Generation, or another show has really kind of helped to guide them through a really difficult time. So, yeah, thank you, Maria, for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michelle Anderson says, I am a people manager, but a bit of a people pleaser. I always think of how Picard would say options, and the bridge staff gave their opinions, and then Picard makes a decision and everyone accepts it. There's no arguing or whining, if only. Seriously, I've learned from Picard that I'm expected and trusted to make decisions. So I ask for options, make a decision, and if people are unhappy, I just channel Jean-Luc, be calm and measured, and suck it up. So, yeah, thank you for that comment. Again, Picard serving as an inspiration at work. And there is something there where, I think partly because he always asked for options and he would take people's input seriously, that then they were able to trust him and accept the decisions that he made. That I think that really helped to build the trust and to allow him to really exert his authority, but do it in a way that everyone was happy with, I think.
Yeah. All right. And along those lines, really, Michelle Areola Palmer says, Picard taught me that there should be accountability and ethics on all levels of employment from the top to the entry level. And I think that's true ethics across the board.
Ethics are very important. They're the most important thing, in my opinion. Ethics are the most important thing that we as humanity needs to strive to be better at on all levels.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, myself included. Ethics are important, and I think the world would be a lot better place if more people had better ethics.
Yes.
For sure. And I mean, I think what it comes down to also is actually taking seriously and caring about other people. Because I think a lot of times when you talk about people not thinking in an ethical manner, it's often because they're trying to do something for themselves or they really don't care about the consequences of what they're doing or other people. They're just trying to get toward a certain outcome without considering that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Right on.
Well, before we get into final thoughts, those were some very interesting ideas about how the character of the captain has affected our lives and those of all of our listeners and members of the Babel Conference and Twitter watchers. Thanks for your input, everyone. It was greatly appreciated. Of course, if you have more stories of how Picard has had an impact, you can add those into our thread here as this episode is posted in the Babel Conference and on Twitter too. Brandon, what are your final thoughts on this?
Well, my final thoughts, based on what Michelle Anderson says, I want a Jean-Luc Picard t-shirt that says, don't like it, suck it up.
Oh, I'd buy that.
Yeah. I am the Picard. Suck it up.
Works for me. No, I think that there's a lot of people here that really, they gravitate towards his leadership abilities. And I think that's really interesting. I don't think that there's a lot of great leaders in this world. I think there could be people need better training and education on how to become better leaders. You know, like I've had leaders who are too firm. I've had leaders who are too lax, but I haven't had very many leaders in my life that are like just right, you know, and I've said in this, I think it was on this podcast, I was a terrible leader myself. I have a lot of training to become a manager. I was kind of tossed in the situation and I'm not blaming that. I have my own failings and I've come to terms with that. That's fine. But I do believe training could have helped me become a better manager. And I think that training is very important. Especially in this day and age, you know, so with things are changing so quickly, jobs are changing and people move positions because, you know, things happen in companies, you know, then it's very important that people get trained properly and that you have good management and the proper people in place to be quality leaders.
Yeah. Management skill really is, the idea of the management is the same no matter what you're doing with it, whether it's a retail experience or any other type of management experience. Mm. Justin, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting just to see all of the different ways in the fan response and the stories that we've told how Picard has affected people's lives. I mean, something as simple as I started drinking Earl Grey tea because of Picard, to something that's you know, really profound lessons about leadership and patience and ethics. I mean, his character, I think, gets to the heart of some really important things that we have to keep in mind because, I mean, yes, it's the Next Generation and the Picard series are fictional shows, but those things
what?
Have the power. Sorry to inform you. It's not real. It's not real in the sense that, like, it's not something that actually happens in that way, but it does have a reality in that we're able to connect with these things. We're able to take inspiration from what we're seeing and in some ways kind of set aside that it's a show and think about how it applies to our own lives. I mean, I'm actually amazed at how many times I'm watching a Star Trek episode and I get into it to the point that it makes me feel like excited to watch it, or it makes me cry. It makes me like really connect with what's going on, because I think the power of it is connecting it to our own lives and connecting it to these situations where we're really invested in these characters. And I think Picard is one of those characters that lots and lots of people are very invested in. And he has affected, I mean, it has the reality that this character has affected millions of people's lives in a positive way, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think the hope is that with the new series, there's kind of a renewal of that, and he can be an inspiration to millions of more people who may not have seen The Next Generation or know about Picard even yet, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of moving into the future, I hope the character would have the same kind of inspiration. I think based on what we've seen, I think that will be the case. And that's very exciting because it feels like there's like a whole generation of people that were watching the show as kids or even as adults. And it affected their lives, what they did with their careers, how they acted with their family or with their jobs or whatever. So I think it's just very inspiring to think about the how he's affected people's lives and how he will continue to do so in the future.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I think it's interesting that Shakespeare gets brought up with this because Shakespeare is considered to be, you know, he wrote fiction, of course, some of it based on fact, but those are stories that have universal, those are stories that deal with the human condition in a universal way. Mm. And it seems like a lot of Star Trek is like that too, that it's, yeah. It is eternal in that, you know, times may change, technology may change, but the question of whether or not to admit to wrongdoing, as we talked about with the first duty, or whether or not you can try to do everything right and still come out losing, that's mm-hmm. always going to be an issue. So it's an eternal thing.
Yeah. And just one thing that I wanted to add, which is, you know, and people are still inspired by what they read in Shakespeare and they're influenced by it over 400 years later. Let's hope that people are still watching Star Trek in 400 years and it being a positive influence.
Yes, but have you read Shakespeare in the original Klingon?
Have you seen Star Trek in the original Klingon?
That'd be the first episode of Discovery, right? So.
No, the Klingons will claim to have invented it when we discover them in, you know, a few hundred years.
Exactly.
Well, they were a stand-in for the Russians, and then, you know, we had Chekhov, so, and he took credit for everything.
Yeah.
Awesome. Right. Yes, this was interesting. I like this. It was nice to read people's thoughts on Picard as a person and how he influenced their lives. I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's been fun talking about Picard's impact on fans today, but that isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here's what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
Okay, that's excellent. And it'll be interesting to see how we interpreted the topic, because I know I may have interpreted it maybe a little differently than others did. We'll see.
Is this another time travel thing?
No, I was going to say, no time travel for me, as long as Jellicoe doesn't come into this.
Sure. Okay. We'll make that deal then. Awesome. I'm in.
All right.
Literary Treks.
And, you know, the stakes are really big. You know, we'll get there, but, you know, this Borg ship threatens Earth and all this kind of stuff, and it just feels like it's a lot of really comic booky, over-the-top stuff that doesn't quite fit right with the novel that came before it and the novel that came after it, if that makes sense.
Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
And Next Gen arriving was this sort of, wow, this is looks incredible. I know when we look at sort of first season Next Gen now, what we're going is, wow, this is really slow and stagey. But in fact, it was incredible. It was absolutely game-changing.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
Only because I was watching little bits of Emissary recently, is that he would see himself wearing that awful purple swimsuit and think, oh God, I can't wear that.
Oh my gosh.
Every time I see it, I'm like, whoa, I'm really glad I'm not wearing 24th century clothing.
If you wanted me to murder an entire society, fine. But I'm not wearing that bathing suit.
Too revealing.
That's where I draw the line.
That's funny.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, please be sure to hit the subscribe button at Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. That helps others find the show. Should we read some of the reviews we've gotten so far?
I was thinking about that.
I've got them right here. I can read them.
You do the two reviews. Go ahead.
There's five now. Oh, no. We got two reviews and five ratings. So
yes.
Okay. So our first review says, best Star Trek Picard podcast out there. Of all the Picard podcasts I've heard, this one is the very best. Awesome.
Thank you.
But there's like what? There's like one of us out there. Like they should.
I think there's probably more. But tell us who wrote that review.
That was from The J Man in the United States of America.
Excellent.
And Choopy12, our friend Karen, I'm guessing that's Karen Chupless.
Yeah, I think so.
Says, Star Trek Picard podcast arrives. Really excited for this. Give the first episode a listen. Right now, it will be a great brush up for the show, and I'm sure great discussions once it starts. Solid podcasting from all of Trek FM. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, The J Man.
Yeah, thank you. And also, if you've listened this far, please go ahead and drop us a review in Apple Podcasts, because that really does help other people to find the show. Mm-hmm. So, and thank you for reading that, Brandon. I guess we'll continue to do that as we get tons of reviews, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the line. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So, Justin, where can people find you when you're not trying to take over Elsinore Brewery by killing your brother?
Thankfully, that's a fictional story that I was in. I was pretending that I didn't know that, but of course I do have a small bit part about 37 minutes in, so don't forget to check that out. Well, when I'm not doing that or reminiscing about those days, you can find me elsewhere on the network co-hosting Earl Grey. That is our dedicated podcast to Star Trek The Next Generation. I do that with my friends Amy Nelson and Joe Keegan every week. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. And you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook. So, Chrissy, where can people find you when you're definitely not drinking Earl Grey?
Yes, I'm definitely not. In addition to here on the line, people can find me in the Babel Conference, of course, and on Twitter at The Goddess Livia. That's TheGoddessLivia. You can also follow my work as an historian by liking the Facebook page my fellow historian partner and I run, History with the Zilagis. That's Zilagys. And there I post about my historical research, including my blog and short podcast, Ancient Aliens is BS, where I go episode by episode debunking the History Channel series.
Have you gotten feedback that people listening to The Line have listened to that podcast?
Not as yet. Not as yet. Okay. But we're still, I think as of now, what we only have a few episodes out, so.
That's true. I think there's one that's coming up that where I tried to promote it.
Yes, you did, and that was greatly appreciated and continues to be.
one that's coming up as we record this, but one that's in the past as you hear it. Okay. Time travel.
Either way, Ancient Aliens is BS, and I'll tell you all about it if you go listen to it.
So what about, like, young aliens?
As long as they're not building the pyramid, that's fine.
I like to think that we're smart people and we could figure out how to build the pyramids.
Definitely.
I mean, how many times do you, like, come across a puzzle on Facebook? They're like, those math problems are like, there's only geniuses can solve this. And it's like just a simple bed mass problem, right? So,
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I believe that we are smart enough as people that we could build the pyramids.
Definitely. So.
But more current aliens invented Velcro. Never forget.
Yes.
Yes, the Vulcans, yes.
We thank the Vulcans Velcro, yes. All right. And Brandon, where can people contact you when you're not figuring out how to build massive structures out of stone and mathematical problems?
I've already done that. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Metella. You can find me here on the network. I guess it's the first time I've said it on Trek FM, finishing up Warp 5. Our Patrick and my last episode will be episode 202. But I'm not quite sure when this episode's going to be released. Again, as we are recording this in September. But 202 is going to be our last episode of Warp 5. We've got some great episodes leading up to then. We've finished up just about every series that we wanted to. There's only one series of episodes that we didn't get to the last one that we didn't want to, but we wanted to, we just didn't get around to doing it. But we finished our movie night series and we finished our retrospective. But we didn't get to finish, the new watch, with our friend, Carrie, the first time Enterprise watcher, Carrie Purvis. We got three out of four. So hopefully the new hosts will take over for the last one.
I'm sure they will.
Sorry to see you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But I mean, I've been doing it for over 100 episodes. I've been doing it for 3 years. We've talked a lot about just about everything. And there's just only so much I can say about Enterprise. I mean, I've developed a whole new appreciation for the show. But, you know, I'm pulling back in podcasting. So I'm doing this. And then my other two shows that I still have are the Good Evening Podcast, which is all about Hitchcock movies. And yesterday I spent Star Trek Day recording our episode on Rebecca, which was actually the 80th anniversary of the first day of filming on Rebecca.
Cool.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of interesting. Cool. You can find that on the Fandom Podcast Network, as well as its own independent feed. We do a Hitchcock film once a month. And then you can find me over on the United Federation of Podcasts with my friend Zach Moore. We have a series of podcasts called Franchise Fatigue, and we go over movies and remakes and sequels. And we should be just finishing up our run on the brand new Terminator series by the time this comes out. So we're looking forward to Terminator Dark Fate. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more. Available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We'd like to take this opportunity to recognize our current associate producer, Norman Lau. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and especially The Line.
So join us next time for another episode of The Line.
Things are only impossible until they're not.
It's possible to do everything correctly and still lose.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won and lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore. All the lies we were told, all the lies of the people running round, their castles have been burned. Now I see change, but inside we're the same as we ever were. Living on a thin line, ooh. Tell me now, what are we supposed to do? Living on a thin line. Ooh. Tell me now, what are we supposed to do?
That's good.
Yay, extra bonus content. Great job.